How can you become a follow-up fanatic and turn your casual connections into clients? Hello, everyone. I'm Tom Tresh, and thank you for joining us on the Marketing Minds podcast. Today, we're talking with Eli Delaney, co-founder and lead trainer of YourMarketingUniversity.com. It's a marketing education company designed to teach you how to take control of your marketing. And Eli is here today to talk follow-up, specifically how you can create a step-by-step follow-up system for attracting joint ventures, ideal prospects, and raving fans. Eli, good morning, and thank you for being here.
Thanks so much, Tom. It is my pleasure to be here as well.
All right, excellent. Well, I figure, you know, being the end of the year, I think it's a great topic to get into, especially as we get into January. We always have entrepreneurs, executives that are looking for new things to add into their marketing arsenal, or, you know, just changes that they want to make. So, you know, let's just dive right in and get into some questions. So you ready?
I am ready to go. I will say, I'll apologize in advance. I got a bit of a cold here, and you and I talked about this. We had to reschedule this once, but I'm still got a little bit of a snarfle thing going on. So I will apologize for that, but I promise I'll give you a lot of cool stuff.
Hey, that sounds like a good deal to me. So you call yourself a follow-up fanatic. So what does that mean? What exactly is a follow-up fanatic?
All right. So, you know, most of us, we network with people, whether it be face-to-face at like chamber conferences, our chambers of commerce, networking groups, conferences, seminars, association groups, any of that kind of stuff. That's how we get our business. And what I find is that most people, they really suck at the follow-up part. They go to these events, they meet all these people, they collect all these business cards, and then they do nothing with it. And I found that that's, obviously, it's kind of a waste of time if you think about it. Now, you want to make the best use of those relationships that you're building with people, but you've got to actually follow up. Most business is done in the follow-up process. You know, you've probably heard the phrase, the fortune is in the follow-up. So what I've done is I've actually considered put myself out there as a follow-up fanatic, being that I am fanatical about following up with the people that I meet, staying in touch with them, because you never know when somebody's going to flip that switch and that person is going to become an actual client, a referral partner, a joint venture partner, you know, possibly a lead source, a connector for you. There's so many different opportunities out there. That person may not be ready today, but they may be ready in a month, 3 months, 6 months, even a couple years, as a matter of fact. And so that's what a follow-up fanatic is somebody who stays in touch on a regular basis, builds a relationship, builds a rapport with the people they meet in order to know that that relationship is going to grow over time and turn into something more powerful.
Ah, well, I think that, you know, I heard you say that magic phrase. I think we've all heard it before. The fortune is in the follow-up. I mean, that's common. I think anybody, first day of, you know, getting into a business, you know, you talk to a coach or, you know, whoever it is, you hear that phrase. The problem is, you know, as you said, you know, most people don't do it. It's kind of challenging to do. I mean, you have any idea of how much money people are leaving on the table because they're not following up with prospects?
As far as actual dollars, no. I mean, it's all going to based on your particular business or, you know, anybody of our listeners' business. But let's kind of look at it this way. Most sales are made between 6 and 12 touches with a prospect. And if you think about that, think about how many times you follow up on a regular basis. Now, most people actually follow up only maybe 3 times. You know, professional salespeople, people that actually call themselves salesmen or saleswomen, actually only follow up 3 times, meaning they meet somebody, maybe they send them an email, they'll give them a phone call a couple of days later, and maybe a couple weeks later they'll follow up one more time, and then they give up. But what ends up happening is that most of the time, that's when your prospect is actually just getting warmed up. Because by the time you hit that third touch with them, they're starting to really, you know, it's starting to take. And that's when you give up. And guess what? The next person in line shows up. And to kind of give you an idea of how this can, you know, how this actually works, I have a client that our previous company is a web and graphic design company. And I started it over 18 years ago. And that company I had a client come to me one time, and this was back before I was actually any good at this stuff, by the way. But I actually had him come to me. We sat down. We talked about building a new website, and they were still fairly new. They had a website that was designed by a friend of a friend, and they weren't really happy with it. So they had come to me, but they were still new enough. They didn't really have a budget to work with. So they ended up, you know, we talked. I gave them a price. I did the best I could for them, and they just said, well, we want to do it. We're not questioning your price at all. We just don't have the budget to do it. And I said, okay, well, when you're ready, let me know. I want to help you out. And almost a year later, I ended up having a trade show that I was going to be at, and I sent out postcards letting people know I was going to be at the trade show and that we were going to be giving away hockey tickets for the night. You know, I know you're in Phoenix. This is when I was back in Phoenix, and we were giving Coyotes tickets away. And it was amazing because I sent out these postcards. There was no sale. All it was, hey, there's going to be this great trade show. We're going to be here. I highly recommend you come check it out. And if you come by, drop in your business card, and you might win some free hockey tickets. That's all it was. There was no sales pitch of any kind in there. And all of a sudden, a couple days after I mail these out, I get a call. And this girl says, I don't know if you remember us, but we talked to you about a year ago, and we didn't have the budget to work with you then. And I'm like, I do remember you. Thank you so much for calling me. Are you going to come out to the trade show? She goes, yeah, we're going to try to. But what I wanted to really call you about was your timing was perfect. Just 3 days ago, we ended up getting a letter in the mail from our old web guy saying that he's going out of business, and we have 30 days to find a new hosting company, or we're going to lose everything. So we decided, well, now's the time, and hey, Eli happened to send us this cool postcard, so we thought we'd give you a call. And the great thing about these guys was that they ended up being a great client. They did not complain about the pricing in any way, shape, and form. As a matter of fact, my business had grown so much, I had almost tripled my prices in that year's time frame. They did not question it one bit. And we ended up building a website for them. They've stayed with us forever. They are still clients. Now, we're not taking on any new clients. We haven't for 4 years now. But the great thing is just before we stopped taking on clients, they actually called us up and asked us to help them build a new website for a second company as well.
Wow.
So these guys have been clients of mine forever purely because I followed up with them. And this follow-up was a year after I initially talked to them.
Well, that's why. That's pretty wild, and you know, I think that kind of goes into another lesson is, you know, it's never too late to follow up, and those people, even a year later, I mean, there's people out there that, you know, are still willing to do business. And I know on my end, I often talk about, you know, people only stop doing business with you because you stopped providing the opportunity. And so
right.
I mean, that's just such a great lesson a year later that just following up, you're getting a deal.
Well, yeah, and I can share even another example of I've got my own follow up formula that I use that I build, and we'll kind of talk about a little bit of that today. That I had a client, or not a client, it was somebody who I met, just general networking. I was at an event, met somebody, and I have a follow up system that I put in place to just touch base. It's not pitching them anything because they didn't say that they were interested in my stuff. But I still want to build those relationships. So I touch base with them about once a month, saying, hey, just how's it going? Here's some things going on with me. Here's what's going on with you. Is there anything I can help you with? And those kind of things. And one email that I sent out was 6 months. I met this guy So January of this year, I met him at an event. It was the very first event that I went to up here in Portland because we just recently moved up here. We were here just before the holidays, and, of course, there's not a whole lot going on during that time. So we started getting out there in January to get out and meet people. The very first event that I went to, I met this guy, stayed in touch with him, and 6 months later, I had sent an email to him saying, hey, by the way, I'm wondering if you can help me out. I'm a speaker. I'm always looking for speaking gigs. Do you know of anybody who has a group of 10 or more people that brings in guest speakers to teach their members? And he replied back and goes, I've got somebody for you you need to talk to. Here's his email address. And he connected us, and I ended up getting a speaking gig the next month because of that.
Nice. Nice. Boy, another good case of just simply following up. Now, you know, you mentioned that you have a system in place. Let's get into that a bit. And we all network one way or another. But how do you keep up with your connections?
I have a couple of different things that I do, and this is the part where, you know, everybody listening to this, you're going to want to take notes right here. You want to, first thing, when you meet somebody, you need to keep in mind that they are not going on your general newsletter, okay? You need to stay away from that, because people get, you know, first off, when they meet you, they may not necessarily be interested in your products and services. So if you have a general newsletter that goes out, and I'm going to use real estate as an example because it's my biggest pet peeve, and these guys are the worst at it. Real estate people, it never fails that I meet somebody at an event, and the next day I get a newsletter from them about, hey, here's the great, you know, houses we have for sale, or commercial real estate is the worst. You know, all of a sudden I'll meet somebody, and within a week I'm starting to get a newsletter about all these properties for sale and, you know, business offices and things like that. And I'm like, I'm a virtual business. I work out of my house, and pretty much anywhere I have a laptop and internet access, it is my office. I had employees at one point, didn't like having that situation, and didn't like having to go to the office every day. So this is my story. I mean, I've been there. So why would you, if you're a commercial real estate agent, be sending me all of these deals on property for sale, commercial real estate, office space for sale or for rent, when I have no interest at all in real estate, in opening up an actual physical office? It doesn't make any sense, but this is what happens. And I get this all the time. And a lot of people do this. I have a guy here locally that he, all of a sudden, he starts putting me on his deal of the day list, and I'm getting an email every single day about the specials that he's got going on. And I'm like, I'm not interested, dude. If I was interested, you know, give me something to start with to get to know that you're actually trustworthy first, and then let me show you that I'm interested. Then you'll have permission to start spamming me, essentially. Yeah. And so you've got to be careful about that. But you can email people. There's nothing wrong with emailing them. It's just the tone and what you email to them. That's the key difference. So the first thing that I would recommend is, if you're at any kind of event, again, chambers of commerce, B&I groups, any kind of like networking mixer. I know in Phoenix, a lot of people are going to be, you know, if you've got clients there, Phoenix has one of the biggest networking events once a quarter called the Signature Event by Networking Phoenix and Gelly. There's so many different opportunities out there. We're networking all the time. But when you meet somebody, just follow up with an email. And the email should be something very similar to this. Hi, so-and-so. It was great meeting you at, and you fill in the blank of where you met them at. I had a great conversation. I met a ton of great people. Did you? Did you have a great time? What other events do you go to? Here's a few that I actually go to that I really enjoy. Let me know if there's anything I can do for you. Have an amazing day, and then pop your signature in there. And that is very scripted. And I know you're a copywriter, so you understand the concepts of this, is that it's very scripted in the fact of, number one, I'm mentioning them by name. Two, I'm mentioning where I met them at. So if for some reason they met 100 people, it refreshes their memory of exactly where they met you at. Third thing is asking questions about them. The fourth thing is that I'm giving them value, because I'm then saying, here's some things that I would recommend. And then you end it with a, you know, let me know if there's anything I can do to help you out. So you notice there's no real pitch in there. You're not selling yourself. What you're doing is you're building the relationship, building the rapport. And that email should, at best case scenario, it really should go out within 48 hours. The next thing that I do, this is like step number two, is I'll go out to social media and I'll connect with them on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Google+, and reach out to them in all four of those places. And by the way, your Facebook profile, remember, we're still dealing people buy from people. So your personal profile, you go out there and connect with them, friend request them, and send them a note when you do it, a real simple message, like LinkedIn especially. LinkedIn, when you try to connect with somebody, it says, I'd like to, has this pre-written thing, it says, I'd like to add you to my network.
Yeah.
Change that, because that's just garbage. Everybody sees 1,000 of those. But if you send it a personalized message that says, I just sent you an email, but I wanted to connect on LinkedIn as well. Thank you, Eli. And something like that, very short, doesn't have to be long, but send that personalized message when you connect with them, that's going to make a world of difference. And when you do that, what ends up happening is they see this email from you. At the same time, they see you connecting in the social world. They're going to remember you because it's only been 24 or 48 hours. And they're going to go, oh, yeah, I met him at this event the other night. Cool. And they're more likely to connect with you. And now, the easiest thing in the world is to go through and basically just kind of see some of the things that they're posting. Now you're getting research on things that you can talk about. Maybe you'll find out that maybe they're a hockey fan. Or maybe they're a dog lover. Or maybe their kids, you may find out their kids go to the same school yours do. You never know what that's going to be, but you can find out what they're talking about, what kind of things they share, what kind of things they like. And that opens up conversation. And this is all the stuff you do within the first 48 hours.
Right, right. So you got the first step is the email. The second step is the connecting on social media.
Yes.
And then what follows from there?
The third step, and you can do this within a week generally, you can give it a little extra time, is to actually invite them to a form of coffee meeting. Now, this could be if you're, in the local area, you could sit down and actually have a cup of coffee, or it could be just a phone call. I do a lot of virtual coffee meetings. We call it virtual coffee meetings because we both get our coffee, and we'll either do a phone call or a Skype call. I tend to network with more people in the national and the global area, so I'm meeting people at conferences over maybe a weekend, but then there may be, I've had people in Australia, New Zealand that I want to follow up with and I want to stay in touch with and build relationships with. So then we'll get on a Skype call. And so we have a virtual coffee meeting. And you just set it for like 15 minutes.
Interesting. It's interesting you bring that up. I think that Skype is an overlooked connection tool in that, you said you do these virtual coffees. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, I was just interviewed by a lady for her web show. We did it through Skype. But instead of coffee, we did lunch. We literally, she had her lunch on her end. I had my lunch on my end, and we recorded the whole thing. And
that's awesome. I love it.
And it's one of those things where it's just kind of, it's casual. You don't want to come off being too stuffy, and it's more fun,
Definitely.
I think there's a time and a place for, not having to be so overly formal, and I think Connection Skype offers that ability to do that.
Right. No, I definitely agree with that. And the great thing about it is that Skype is if you do it right, especially if you do like a video Skype call, it's so powerful because of the fact it's the closest thing you can get to being face-to-face with somebody. Because, over the phone, you can't tell a lot of emotions. You can't tell if they're sitting there twiddling their thumbs while they listen to you ramble on. You want to make sure that in a face-to-face conversation, you can look them in the eye. You can make sure that you're paying attention to what's going on. So it's a lot easier that way. And you know what? It's kind of funny because I know you and I talked about this just a little while ago, is that, there was an interview that you did with Barbara Sanders from Solo Pro. And it was so funny because I saw that, and I had literally just had coffee with her the week before. And so that helped start a conversation.
Yeah,
it started a great conversation. As a matter of fact, she told me to tell you hi. I just wanted to let you know that because I just talked to her again last week.
All right. Well, you can return the hi right back at her since you'll see her in person. I've never seen her in person.
Yeah. But see, that's the cool thing about it is you can build some amazing relationships. It doesn't have to be just local. And even if you are local and the phone call or a Skype call is – that might work out better because we can get overwhelmed with doing nothing but back-to-back coffee meetings and not actually getting any real work done.
Yeah.
And I totally get that, and I've been there before. But I do believe that personal relationship stands out. And the most important thing is to be of service first. I think that really is the clincher to make this all work is – you notice that in the emails and when I post up those Facebook messages and things like that, you'll notice that I kept bringing in the what can I do to help you? Is there anything I can help you out with? Those kind of things. And those make a difference. Those make you stand out. And you should pop in, you know, maybe a month later. Put it in your calendar just to follow up and pick up the phone and call them or shoot them an email or a Facebook message. You know, find out if they're really, really, really active on Facebook. You could just send them a quick Facebook message. Here's even a really cool trick that I actually learned this from, I believe it was Joe Polish, who's another marketing guru guy that's in the Phoenix area, in Tempe. And I found out that on Facebook, on your phone app, you can actually record an audio message for somebody on Facebook,
really?
Which is pretty cool. So you could just pop in there and just do this quick little message and, you know, go to send somebody a message, and there should be a little audio button on there. You click on that, record a quick thing, saying, hey, I just want to touch base with you. Hopefully you're having a great year so far. Let me know if there's anything I can do for you. I'd love to get together for coffee again sometime. Send that to them on Facebook. You know how many audio messages people get from Facebook?
Yeah. Zero.
Yeah. So it's a cool little trick. It's something that stands out. And all you do is you just put it on your calendar. Now, there's ways that you can actually automate more of this. One of the things that I highly recommend is sit down and get out a piece of paper. And if you're in a position where you can do this right now, you literally should sit down and write this out. Plan on touching base with people once a month for a minimum of 6 to 12 months. And just write down, okay, immediately, step one is send that great-to-meet-you email. Step two, connect on social media. Step three, 7 days later, ask them for coffee. Step four, 30 days later or 15 days later, look them up on Facebook and like something or comment on something. You know, obviously, if you're spending more time on Facebook, you should be able to do that automatically without having to put it as a step, but it's something to just put it in the step to make sure you don't forget. Step five, send another email. By the way, share something cool. If you can think of something, and I try to find stuff that's evergreen and applicable to anybody. So for me, I'll recommend most of the people that I connect with, I would say, you know, 95%+ of the people I connect with are entrepreneurs of some sort, so I'll connect with them related to business things. Maybe I'll share a great article that I found on entrepreneur.com, or I share a lot of books. You know, I'll talk about books, a book that made a big difference for me, and what I do is I have this pre-written. I say, you know, hey, here's a great book that I recommend. This is when I read it, this is why I like it so much. Here's a link, and I send them a link to Amazon. And it's just a simple little thing. It's just like, hey, you know, I don't know how much of a reader you are, but, you know, I'm a pretty avid reader. Here's a book that I thought you might find interesting. It definitely helped you in your business. This is what it's called. This is why I like it. And here's a link. Let me know what you think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the entire email. And you can sit down and actually pre-write these emails. Open up Microsoft Word and write it. Imagine one person. And you can do this right. I mean, literally, if you have a pile of business cards on your desk like most people that network do, you know, if you've ever had that situation where you see your desk and it looks like, you know, somebody just dumped a box of business cards all over it, you can literally grab somebody's card, imagine them. Just imagine the look on their face like if you were sitting down and talking to them and start writing these emails. Write it just like you're going to talk to that person. And then you stop and you look at them and you're like, okay, would this apply to the next person? 9 times out of 10, the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you had a great time meeting them. Yes, you met some cool people. And yes, here's some things that you would recommend that they go to. And, you know, maybe the next one could be, here's this book. Well, would they possibly benefit from reading the book? Well, yeah, as long as you picked a book that's good. You know, for me, it's not like I'm not going to go through and recommend Twilight, you know, because that's not going to apply to everybody. And we're not going to go into my personal opinions of those books anyway, but, you know, but it's, you know, you pick something that's kind of generic and will apply to anybody, and you just sit down and you write out 6 to 12 emails. Spend a couple hours doing it. It shouldn't take that long. And when you do it, imagine that one person. And then you just save those documents. And when you're ready, all you have to do is copy and paste. You can still tweak them, You know, you don't have to make them exactly the same every time, but most of the time when we send this kind of stuff, it's the same stuff over and over again. I mean, if you were to follow up with everybody you met at the last event that you went to, you would probably write a whole bunch of emails that started with, hey, it was great meeting you at whatever event. You know, I met so many great people, hope you did too. You know, I mean, it's the same basic idea. So, but instead of writing the same thing over and over and over again, what you do is you write it once, and then you can just tweak it. That way you can just play with it. If you want to add something personal from that particular person, that's okay. But, you know, and there are ways that you can actually take it into a more automated funnel using an autoresponder system as well. You just have to be a little bit more careful on that. And I actually teach that in one of my programs. But what this does is you just start with these basic templates, these starting ideas. And that way you have it formatted. You have the system. And you want to make sure you follow up 6 to 12 months. And once you get to that time frame, you're getting close to the end, I honestly recommend doing more. You know, go ahead and do another 6 to 12 months. Spend a couple hours, write it all out, and now all you're doing is copy-paste send as opposed to writing. You know, I mean, we write an email, it may take us 5-10 minutes sometimes to write all that stuff out, but if we just copied it and tweaked it, it could take 2 minutes.
Right. Well, let me throw out a question that's kind of out in left field, and I just want to play skeptic for a minute. So,
I love skeptics.
So we go to an event, and typically if you're going to a networking event, you know you're going there to generate business. The other people there, you know they're there because they want to generate business. So yes. You meet these people and you start following up with them. Is it as simple as just following up with them to be helpful, because you know that in the back of their mind they're thinking, well, he's really only following up to me because he wants or she wants to generate some business for him or her. So I kind of, you know, I guess being the skeptic, I'm thinking, you know, is it worth following up if the undertone is, yes, I want business? Do people really see that you're trying to help them, I guess is the question.
You're going to have some people that are going to be very confused. And that's the best part. The part I love about this is my favorite question in the world to ask people, and I do this while I'm networking with people. I will actually sit down, I talk to them, we're, you know, doing our thing, and I'll just, you know, towards the end of the conversation, I'll be like, so what can I do to help you out?
Yeah, catch people off guard, I'm sure.
It does. Sometimes they literally have the deer in the headlights look. And it amazes me, because then the next thing in their mind is, well, I don't know if I need your products or services. And I'm like, no, that's not what I asked. I said, what can I do to help you out? What do you actually need help with? And it really catches them off. Sometimes they literally will say, well, let me think about it and I'll get back to you. But sometimes they'll actually say, you know what, here's what I'm actually looking for. And they might need, you know, a painter for their new office or whatever. And I'm like, you know what? Let me see if I can find somebody for you. Because I have a pretty good-sized Rolodex. I have a huge database of people that I've connected with, that I've networked with, and I am famous for connecting people together. Even if, you know, I don't get anything out of it. What I get out of it is the satisfaction that I help somebody, because that's what I'm in this for. I do this because I love doing it, and I love helping people, especially entrepreneurs that are trying to get to the next level. And if I find that I can help somebody that doesn't include my programs, that's okay. Hopefully, down the road, they'll want my programs. I mean, yes, I'm in business. I'm a capitalist. Yes, I want to make sales. But I'm making sales by providing value. So my goal is to provide value first. The sales, the monetary income, is the side effect of everything else that I do. And if you go into it with that mindset, you're going to have some people that are skeptical that are going to be like, okay, what's he really want? This guy's too good to be true and he's way too nice. But you'll get into them. You know, you'll start to, over time, you'll start digging into them and they'll be like, wow, he really is a genuine guy. And that's a great place to be in, because I've had so many people that are like, wow, I cannot believe how much you've given me over all this time. And I've had people who sometimes, I mean, I had one girl back in my web design days that literally 10 years I had known her. And then all of a sudden she comes to me and says, we need to talk about building a website. And I'm like, okay, cool. And so we sit down and we talk, and I'm like, so who else are you talking to about this? She goes, nobody. I'm like, well, why not? Because, you know, standard practice is always you talk to two or three different designers before you hire somebody. She's like, you have always given so much value. You've helped me out so many times through the years. And there's no reason to talk to anybody else.
Yeah. Well,
and, yeah, it's a great place to be. And, yeah. And the goal with it is to, you know, be of service first. You know, yeah, you know you're there to grow your business. I mean, that's what we're all here for. That's what our business is. If we're entrepreneurs, that's what we're here for, is to grow our business. But it's about being of service first, helping other people. I mean, the definition of an entrepreneur is somebody who solves problems for a profit. And the whole idea is that we have to solve problems first before we make a profit. So keep that in mind. And let me touch on one more thing with this, the mindset behind this as well, that might help people, especially in the networking. If anybody here is listening that does more offline networking, more like networking groups and B&I groups and chambers and things like that, I want you to think about the hunter versus farmer mentality. Most people go into a networking group with a hunter mentality, meaning they're going in for the kill. They're actually there expecting to get a sale by the end of the event. It doesn't happen. I have in my entire life, with everybody that I've met in all the years I've been doing this, I have once made a sale at an event. It was at a chamber mixer one time, and to this day I still am not sure exactly what I did to make that happen. Literally, I happened to be having an event going on the next day. I was talking to this guy. He goes, that sounds like something that I should really have. And I'm like, you know what? I have one seat left, which was true. And I said, are you interested? Because, you know, we could do it. I mean, I can grab a paper out of the car. And he goes, sure. And so I ended up grabbing his credit card information. He filled out the form. And I said, okay, here's the address. Show up tomorrow morning. You'll be on the list. And I, like I said, it just happened to be, you know, perfect timing that actually worked. But I've never done sales literally right at an event. What I've done is I look at the farmer mentality. Farmer mentality is you're planting the seeds, you're cultivating, and you're letting things grow. And that takes time. But when it does, you end up getting 10 times the results, sometimes 100 times the results than you would if you just went in for the kill.
That's a good point. It's a real good point. Well, so to me it seems that, and you got to correct me if I'm wrong here, that of course we know that there is the importance in the follow-up. The mistake that people make is they kind of stop. They stop with the follow-up. They don't do enough of the connections. I mean, is that fair enough to say?
Oh, definitely. You know, you've got to stay in touch, like I said, at least 6 to 12 times.
All right. Well, okay, so we've established that. Now, let's get into, you kind of talked about some steps. You know, you mentioned some automation. You mentioned opening up, a Word file, getting out some dialogue, writing out some dialogue that you can use in emails, that kind of stuff. But, you have any other steps that you can suggest for people to help fix kind of their follow-up failure that they're having right now?
Yeah, the number one thing is to remember, here's a great step. For those of you who have all these people, all these connections that you haven't followed up with, this is the best thing in the world. Write an email. The subject line is, I made a mistake. And then you write, hey there, this is Tom. Just want to touch base with you. We haven't talked for ages, and it's been my mistake that I haven't followed up with you properly. As we're going into the new year, because we are coming into 2014 here, as we're coming into the new year, it is my commitment to follow up more effectively, stay in touch, build better relationships. And that's going to start with me just touching base with you. Is there anything that I can do to help you out? Let me know. Yeah. And send that simple email out. And you can send it to anybody, people that you haven't talked to in years. And you can do that literally right now.
Boy, that's an easy action step. You're right. That can be done right now.
Yes.
And as a copywriter, I love the subject line. I made a mistake. Creates curiosity. If they haven't seen your name in a while, even if they don't recognize it, they're still going to be curious, what's the mistake? So they got to go in there and they have to read it. So.
Well, and the great thing about it is as they start reading about it, they're going to start feeling guilty for not following up with you as well. Especially if it's more of a networking relationship type of situation. I mean, clients are not as much, but, you still have that where a relationship is a two-way street. We know that. So if you take the burden on yourself that you're the one that made the mistake, you're the slacker. Mine, actually, I use, because I'm a little bit more goofy in what I say sometimes, so mine actually says, I'm a slacker. That's my subject line. And it says, sorry for being such a slacker. I've been so busy with stuff, or sometimes I've got one that I've actually written with that concept of, I had a batch of business cards that got buried in the back of the bottom of my bag. And unfortunately that's happened a few times. That's how that email came about, was because of the fact that I had a batch of business cards, stack of them in a rubber band that got buried in the bottom of my bag, and I found them a month later.
Mm.
And so you could use these kind of things and take it on yourself, saying, hey, I was a slacker. I'm really sorry. I really want to fix this relationship. What can I do to help you out?
Well, I think I think there's far too many business owners, entrepreneurs, executives that would, come across those business cards that might have been sitting for a while. And, the first thought is, well, let's see if we can get them to buy something, put an offer out there. You see that often. I mean, you haven't heard from somebody in a long time, and then all of a sudden you get an email, and there's an offer in the email. People will wonder, why are you getting reported as spam? Well, I haven't heard anything from this person, and out of the blue, you get an email, and I want you to buy something.
Exactly. And there's a couple of things with that. One is, that first thing is that just shows that you're greedy. That really is, that's the mindset people see. They're like, God, I haven't heard from this guy in 6 months, and he's, trying to sell me something. That's if you're lucky enough that they remember who you are.
Yeah.
And that's why it's really important that you try to reference where you met them at first. How did they come on your list? If maybe you're building an online list and you have a free report that people signed up for, but then you didn't do anything with it for ages. All you did is build a list and do nothing, go follow up. You could say, hey, it's been a while since you downloaded the whatever the name of the report is, and I've been a slacker for not following up the way I should. I apologize for it. I want to, help you out. What can I do? Thank you so much. Something to reactivate and get them to remember how did they connect with you originally.
Yeah. I love that. I love that slacker tip. That's great. It puts all the, it puts all the faults on you, and, it adds a little humor, a little something fun to the mix. Because, let's be honest, too many companies, they don't look at marketing as fun. And this is what we're doing. This is a form of marketing. It can be fun. So, why not have a little, do something a little different that is a little bit fun.
Exactly.
Well, we're coming up here, looks like about 38 minutes, so I know we got to get to wrap this up here fairly quick, but I want to get on to something that we talked about, we touched on at the beginning, but that's follow-up with clients, people that have bought something from you. There's nothing worse when, you buy something and then you never hear from that company again, or as you just touched on it, maybe, way down the road and they want you to buy something else, but, give some tips on how we can follow up with clients.
The best thing to do with following up with clients is to not just focus on selling them something else. You also want to make sure that you touch base with them and build, I like to call it the nurture campaign, and that's what I call mine. It's a general nurture campaign, which is tips, tricks, links to articles that you've written, links to other articles, links to other resources, maybe a free bonus. Give them a free guide or a free report or free video training every once in a while, things like that. And with your customers, it's not once a month. You need to do it at least every 2 weeks, because the more you stay in touch with them, the more you build that relationship and add value, the more they're going to want your newsletter. So one thing I love is when it comes to email marketing, there's so many people in today's world that are saying, oh, email marketing is dead. It doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
My response to that is their emails suck. That's why.
Exactly. I'm right with you on that, Eli.
And that's the reason. I mean, I get some amazing opt-in rates. I get amazing stay rates. My open rates are crazy. And the reason is because most of my emails are, hey, by the way, here's a great article on this and this and this. Go check it out. Or, hey, you know what, here's a tool that I use. Or here's a recommend, you know, maybe this is a WordPress plugin. If you're using WordPress, here's something I highly recommend you check it out. And I'll even shoot a short little video talking about it, what it is. And if they want to buy it, cool. If they have it already, I teach them some ways they can use it differently. I mean, I've even done a video on using Dropbox. Because I think any business person or any person with a computer, quite honestly, should be using Dropbox. So I have this video that I'd send out and say, hey, you know, I don't know if you've got Dropbox yet or not, but if you do, here's a video I shot showing you some ways that I use it. If you don't use it, go watch the video and go sign up. It's a pretty cool tool and it's free. And that is just, it's adding value. And then I intermix actual promotions of real products and services with those. But the majority of it, I mean, I do roughly about 20% promotion, 80% content. Sharing, adding value first. And you can do that on a regular basis. I mean, my newsletter, I hate to call it a newsletter because I don't consider it a newsletter, but my touching base with my list is once a week.
And
you could, if you're doing it right, they're not going to get upset with you mailing them too much because you're just adding good value.
And I think that's the key. I'm with you on that as well. You know, I do at least once a week. And, you know, if you're delivering value, you don't really have much to worry about. It's when you're not delivering value and you're doing it on an inconsistent basis. That's when you start worrying about emails being labeled as spam.
Yeah, and even on especially your customers, you could actually even write it into your follow-up system for your customers to just call them up every 2 months and just say, hey, just want to touch base, see how you're doing. Don't sell them anything. If they ask, then that's okay, but call them up with the purpose of, what can I help you with? Or what are you struggling with right now? Is there anything I can help you with? And try to get the information. Maybe it is they need a painter, or maybe they need a graphic designer, or something else that you might be able to add value to them, because every one of those things gives you a notch on the totem pole.
Yeah. Good point. Well, I think we're going to have to wrap this up real quick here. We're at like 42 minutes, but I know before we do that you have, you talked about a special report. I mean, you have that type of thing available for people to to reference and get some of these ideas that you talked about here during our interview. So why don't you talk a little bit about that so that people can download the guy that you have.
All right. I have the Networking Follow-Up Blueprint. This is basically, I took part of my system and I boiled some of this stuff down into basically a checklist. It's just it's a blueprint, it's a guide, kind of walks you through some of the steps of things that you can do if you're networking, whether it be face-to-face at conferences or chamber groups or any of that kind of stuff. It doesn't matter what type of networking you're doing, the system still works the same way. And this is a program I put out there because I know the follow-up failure is outrageous right now. I mean, I've had people literally that I've gone to events with and I've given them my business card and said, I want to stay in touch with you. Call me or email me. And I never hear from them again. And that's why most business is lost. I would guess that there's a good at least 25 to 30% of all sales being lost purely because people don't follow up enough. And so what I did is I put this out as my way of giving back to the world, the stuff that I've learned and I put together and I use myself. I've used it to, my web design business started off with me working, barely doing anything. I had like 2 clients. They loved me to death, but it wasn't enough to pay the bills. To growing to an office with 5 employees and closing 3 to 5 contracts a week. And it was all through networking. So I've taken that step, put it into this blueprint, completely free. And it's my idea of, kind of how can I help you get your networking in place, get started with it.
Ah, and you said that magic word. It's free.
It is free because I do like to give away free stuff. Again, it's adding value first. Right. You know, of course, I'm not going to lie to you. I would love to have everybody who listens to this become a student or a client of mine. But I know that not everybody's going to. And you're not going to trust me if I don't give you something first so you can see the value that I provide. I mean, that just makes sense. And so my goal is to give something to you that you can get out there, you can check it out, and hopefully it works with you. And then, you know, if you decide you want to work with me on that, awesome. If you don't, take it and run with it. Use this stuff.
Wow. Well, and we're making it really easy for, you know, to remember where to get it. I'm going to set up a URL for that. So if you just go to rightwaysolutions.com/Eli, and that's E-L-Y for Eli, and Rightway Solutions is WRITEWAYSOLUTIONS.com. Rightwaysolutions.com/Eli, and you'll get that blueprint that Eli mentioned. Is there anything else, though, that you want to add before we close out the call here, Eli?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you so much for having me on the call. I really appreciate it. And for everybody listening here, I've seen this quite often, and I'm genuinely true on this. Connect with me in the social media world, you know, sign up for the free blueprint, any of that kind of stuff. Touch base with me, connect with me. And if there's something I can do to help you, reach out and let me know. That's what I'm here for. That's why I do this.
All right. Well, thank you, Eli. I really appreciate the time and all the tips. Like I said at the beginning, this is great information, especially going into the new year. So, you know, remember, if you want more of these more follow-up tips, more follow-up tactics, just be sure to go check out this blueprint that Eli mentioned. Again, it's rightwaysolutions.com/Eli. Eli is E-L-Y. And again, Eli, appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Tom. It was my pleasure to be here.